And social media, you can love it or hate it, but either way, it's time to accept just how powerful it is. Queensland police have acknowledged just how much Twitter and social media networks helped during the floods, allowing both residents and the police themselves to get out important information. So, are Twitter and Facebook no longer geeky fads, but necessary? To break it all down, I'm joined by Curtin University's Lecturer of Internet Studies, Dr. Tam Maliva. Thanks for speaking to us, Dr. Tam Maliva.
Morning, Kay. Good to be here.
Well, one of the things that really struck me about this whole police using their Facebook page was that it was to let them know where roads were closed and updates. Why didn't they use their website? I would have thought that would be a more appropriate way to talk to the residents.
Well, they were using their website as well, but it's quite true that a lot of people don't log on to the web anymore. They log on to Facebook. That's the first place they go, and that's where they spend the bulk of their time. And it was, if you like, making sure that the most relevant messages were in the spaces where people were always looking. And I think, to be perfectly honest, the Queensland Police did a really excellent job with both their Facebook and their Twitter feeds. And I think people had the choice of where to look, as certainly a lot of people did use the official sort of websites. But at the same time, those social media presences meant that whatever tools you happened to be using, you could get the most relevant up-to-date info, which I think was really important.
Yeah, the Queensland Police were copped a little bit of flack at the start for using Facebook, but now it seems to have paid off.
Absolutely. I think initially people are, oh, why are you wasting your time? But then I think if you actually look at the number of people that were visiting, there were literally hundreds of thousands of hits across sort of the peak week of everything happening, which is a huge amount of people logging in to check there. And I think it wasn't even just people who were affected, but it was also globally people were logging in to check what exactly was happening and get, real up-to-date information, not just on, things like road closures, but even on things like the death toll and stuff like that, which had, there were some wild rumours circulating. One of the great things that they managed to do as well is really nip those rumours in the bud and say, no, this is the official information. This is what we definitely know. The dam is not about to burst. There are not 100 people dead. And that sort of reassurance, if you like, I think was also really important.
Isn't that, though, one of the problems that people can put false information up there and can create a Facebook page saying that it's this or that when it's not actually? Is it a genuine worry that false information can go around and people are going to start thinking that this is coming from the police?
It's a genuine concern that false information can get out there. And what's of probably of more concern is when you don't have an official presence from the police or from the emergency services or something like that. So in those circumstances, it is very easy for false information to circulate, if you like. But one of the things I think that the balance, if you like, was struck, there was a whole lot of weird rumours that were put up. Like there was a ridiculous thing. People were saying, well, the dams are about to burst, so if we all turn on all our taps and it'll drain the water out of the dam, which wouldn't have made any market impact whatsoever, but it would have used up all of the drinkable water, which would have just been really silly. And you saw a response to that come out within about, a minute of that starting to circulate on Twitter and get retweeted. You saw an official response saying, no, that wouldn't help. Please, God, don't do it. And I think it's that ability to not just to broadcast information and updates, but to engage with the dialogue that's happening there and make sure that people don't, in a panic, start circulating something that they think might be helpful but genuinely isn't.
So now the police media don't have to just talk to the media themselves, but they have to be constantly checking what's being posted on those Facebook pages as well.
It is a good practice for all social media to be engaged with the conversation, and it is most useful to be being able to respond to what people are saying as well. But one of the great things about, at least in this instance, is that on Twitter and indeed on Facebook, there were some key places where people were talking. On Twitter, for example, the hashtag that allows people to find tweets related to the floods was very widely used. So if people were trying to say something about the floods, they generally use this tag. So if you just followed that tag, you could see what was being discussed. And it was a very small team of people who'd put in an awful lot of work of the Queensland Police social media people. I think it was two or three people who were doing most of that work. So it's not like a huge amount of police resources were dedicated to this, but I think it has to be said they did a really good job. And the other thing you've got to keep in mind, of course, is that as power failed for a lot of people, Twitter and Facebook, smartphone applications increasingly are getting wide use. So people were actually checking in that their houses were losing power, but because they had their phones charged and they might have 24 hours of charge on that, they were still able to get the updates through that mechanism. And it's much easier in some ways to see Twitter or Facebook feeds on your phone than it is, say, to log into a traditional website.
So these days when we go out and we have to evacuate our house, really, we need to take our phone with us these days.
Well, that's always a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. So you mentioned Twitter there as well. And other people were actually using Twitter. I saw a couple of tweets come up saying about some people were handing out free food and would tweet where you could go to get that free food or other items that they could go get. The community was also using Facebook and Twitter as well to really talk to everyone else in the affected flood zone.
Absolutely. I think if you look at sort of the collective output of Queenslanders on Twitter during the floods, it is an absolute beacon of good community spirit. There are so many people who are offering, you know, hot meals because we've still got power. They're offering, you know, we're up the hill, and if you're in this area and you need somewhere to sleep or you need someone to evacuate to, just come up the hill to us. I mean, there is so much of that sort of volunteerism and good community spirit that I think it was a genuinely heartwarming thing to see from the outside. And of course, if you're in the midst of that, when you see your neighbours saying, well, we're, you know, 50 metres up the hill, we're not going to get flooded out, come up, that's a fantastic thing. And of course, you might have been able to walk down and say that, but if the floods are coming up, you really don't want to be running around knocking on doors. You want to get the message out, and I think that's a fantastic use.
So does this mean that the media is almost at no use anymore? I mean, if the police can just put things up on their website and then people can read on their Facebook page and read this, is there any use for media anymore?
I think while Twitter and Facebook were really important, of course the traditional media was still incredibly important as well. A lot of people were listening to the ABC, probably more than any other channel. I think the ABC News 24 channel was actually quite useful if you had digital. But also all of the traditional news media were doing a pretty decent job of trying to get information up. One of the really useful things as well was that whenever there was a press conference, and I think it was like one almost every hour, that was going straight up on YouTube, so the press could literally go in, and if they couldn't get to that press conference, they could quote directly from it. So the push of official material, if you like, did go through a lot of the traditional channels, and a lot of people will never turn to, you know, Facebook or Twitter in a time of crisis. They'll turn to the radio or whatever they're familiar with, and I think it's not about one replacing the other, but it's about all of these channels being used to their fullest potential.
It does seem like a bit of a win, though, for social media. A lot of people have been bagging out Twitter and Facebook as sort of pointless and fads as well. So it did seem like they got a bit of a win with this one.
Oh, absolutely. I think it sort of reinforces that point that Twitter and Facebook are as good or as bad as the purposes you use them for. And in a crisis, mass communication tools are incredibly valuable.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the WA Police Facebook page, but it looks pretty empty. Do you think after this that they will start getting more emergency updates and updates themselves on those Facebook pages?
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, one of the things that was really important about what happened with the floods, though, is it did happen, a lot of it happened in the sort of the core metropolitan areas, and a lot of people who are very wide were using these sort of services. If you look at smaller local sort of emergencies, especially say the fires that would happen in regional areas in WA, I think people are less likely to turn to digital technology. They're more likely to stick with the radio and things like that. But it is a transitional thing that will change with time. But I do think the fact that this was sort of really located in the metro area did mean that these tools were perhaps of their peak value rather than in sort of more tight-knit communities where the means of getting information out is probably a bit different.
Well, thank you for joining us today. It was a very interesting watching all those tweets and all those Facebook updates come out as they did.
Indeed it was, and it was great to talk to you this morning.
I was speaking there to Curtin University lecturer in Internet Studies, Dr. Tama Lever, about the use of Twitter and Facebook during the crisis like the Queensland floods.